delighted that you've joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Cynical, judgmental, prejudice. Over these paradigms that are based upon your trauma. And the ones that are in the background, they're pulling the strings. They know when to press the button. And they know what the reaction will be. Every time. And it's time we get off that treadmill. And back up and say, I'm in another kingdom. Amen. And I'm sorry if people feel like you need to be right out front hollering and screaming and throwing stuff. Not me. You're going to hear my voice another way. Because see, we got to go after the root of some stuff. This is centuries old. Well, you know, my message tonight happens to be entitled Justice Served. But I'm not preaching on what happened here. It's another type of justice. Justice will be served. God is a God of justice. Go with me to Psalm 101, verse 1. I just want to read one verse there to you. And I'm on a little rabbit trail. I've been studying this, and I'm excited about it because I believe Holy Spirit is revealing and gracing me to put this together to where I can eventually teach it. It's going to deliver some people from generational, I'm going to say generational curses, generational mindsets, the victim mentality, you know, violence, sexual perversions. Once you hit the root of that thing, that tree will rot. It'll bear no more fruit. But you got to find that. You got to stop just trying to pick the fruit. Amen. Do we have it? Psalm 101, verse 1. I want to just read some. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Somebody say mercy,
mercy.
And judgment.
And judgment.
Say it again. Mercy,
mercy.
And judgment.
And judgment.
I read in Romans, I believe it is, where the Lord said he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And he will have judgment upon whom he will have judgment. I want you to know something. In this hour in which we live, in this new era, there's going to be mercy, but there's also going to be judgment. And judgment is going to happen in the house of God as well as in the world. Amen. I said God is a God of mercy and judgment. And we are but the clay. What can the clay say to the potter? What you doing here? What are you making? No, it's the potter. Clay can't say what it wants to be. Amen. We just need to, amen, press in the God to a place where we know that we know that we know. Amen. So, somebody say justice. Come on, say it. Justice served. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Now, Elisha has received the mantle, and he's returning, and he crosses the Jordan, and he goes to Jericho. It says, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse. Somebody say, a new cruse. And put salt therein. Somebody say, salt. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Okay, we're good. All right, let's take a look at that portion of scripture there. This is after the parting of the Jordan. This was the second miracle that was wrought by Elisha. Let's look at a little history here to see. You know, Jericho, if you study the city, there was a time where God was against the building of it. Now, Jericho, let me give you just a little history. Jericho was built in disobedience to a command of God. It was built in defiance to God's threatening, and it was built at the expense of the lives of the builder's children. They built it, but God said it, and they went on and built it anyway, and it cost them their children. Yet, it was built, and God's prophets and people weren't forbidden to dwell in it. In other words, the walls of Jericho were built on iniquity. Now, I just want to touch this right here because there's a lot of principle in this portion of scripture. But this has to do, Jericho has to do with the wealth of the sinner being laid up or provided, providing a place for the just, because God didn't forbid his people to live there. Because we see in this portion of scripture, there was a school of prophets there at Jericho. Okay? But now, because it was built upon a curse, the men of the city, which were the prophets, they said, the place is pleasant, but the water was no good. And because the water was no good, nothing would grow. So you see the result of that curse, what they built there against God's command, and it cost them their children. But look at God, the wealth of the wicked was laid. Now, let me just give you a few verses here, because a number of things happened at Jericho. Now, we talked about how Jericho was the place of their first conquest, where they prospered, where the walls came down, angelic intervention. In Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus actually walked through Jericho. All right, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, we see the captain of the host that had come. They were at the wall of Jericho, and the captain of the host had come not for Joshua's agenda, but to bring Joshua into the Lord's agenda. Joshua said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host am I come." Okay, so he had another agenda. So Jericho, he had another agenda. We also see in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus was walking outside of Jericho, he was there. He received his sight there outside of Jericho. He took off that coat we talked about that identified him and laid it aside. And there it was where Jesus healed him of his blindness. Okay, so keep in mind, this to some degree has to do with the wealth of the sinner being laid up. Okay? Now, Jericho, the situation, the prophet said, the situation is good, is pleasant, but the water and the soil are unfruitful. Now, some writers, some commentaries, they say it was only the place where the prophets were that wasn't producing, you know, good water or good soil. They were the men of the city. But now, what I want you to take a quick look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 and 19. I want to release more prophetic dimension, more prophetic frequency. All right, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, in this new era, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, I want you to take hold of that right now as a prophetic word. God says, remember not the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. In this new era, I'm going to do a new thing. Now, Elisha said, bring me salt in a new cruise. In other words, there had to be the element of something new. Amen. In other words, God's going to rework and change around some of the way that people have done church. Stay with me now. God's going to reorganize and rework some things so that the church is not just a box, but that, amen, the church is got his hands and feet in the world. Amen. So keep that in mind. He said, behold, I do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. Now, in verse 20 of 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha said, bring me salt in a new cruise. Now, think about it in a moment. What is a little cruise of salt going to do you pouring it into a river? I remember we did this in Belize. I don't know if Pastor's in it, but we did this in Belize. We were ministering. It was outside of Belize City, way out in the country, and the people told us that lived there that the water was not good. And God put in my heart one night while we were there, said, do as Elisha did, take salt, put it in, you know, just didn't have to be a whole lot of salt, it could have been table salt. It wasn't the salt, it was the act of faith. Amen. Amen. That triggers the waters being healed. But we actually did that in Belize. Now, if it stayed fresh or clean forever, I don't know. But I believe it has. Amen. Amen. Because God is a God of his word. Faith had to be employed and obedience had to be tried. Amen. If you want the miraculous, if you want the new things to happen, then there's got to be faith that's employed. Amen. You got to exercise your faith, and then there's an act of obedience. Doing what God said. You don't have to understand the principle there, how this salt going to change something. No, it's not the salt that's going to change it. It's God that changes it. Amen. You hear people say prayer changes things, but prayer doesn't change things. God changes things. Amen. Through our prayer. Amen. If you want to get technical. Amen. So water, the water, streams, and the ground were healed. It's like when God heals somebody's soul, when he saves somebody or a land, there is no more death or barrenness. In other words, he took out of that land death and barrenness. In other words, he broke the curse in that land. The curse upon which those walls were built and that city was established when the man of God came. Come on, when the man of God came and the prophets came to him and said, listen, the place is pleasant, but the water is bad and nothing grows here. And he wrought an act of faith and he broke the curse. Amen. See, whenever Psalm 67 says, let all the people praise thee, O Lord. See, you don't even have to have, you know, the salt in the shaker, in the cruise. The Bible says, let all the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. When all the people praise thee, the earth shall yield its increase.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.